Chapter 4, Action Research, the Planning Phase. Chapter 4, Part A. In Chapter 3, the QuickCo vignette provided one example of how OD consultants work. Jack, the internal OD consultant at QuickCo, led his clients Ned, the shipping supervisor, and Sarah, the manufacturing manager, through an action research process to solve communication and teamwork problems in the shipping department. Action research, the process OD consultants follow to plan and implement change, follows three general phases. Number one, planning. Data is collected, analyzed, and shared with the client to determine corrective action. Number two, doing. Action is taken to correct the problem. And number three, checking. The effectiveness of the intervention is evaluated, and the cycle is repeated as needed. Let us return to the QuickCo vignette and examine the action research steps taken. Ned and Sarah met with Jack to outline how employees were at each other's throats, letting conflicts fester and failing to work well together. Their first meeting incorporated their planning phase. As explained in Chapter 3, this initial meeting is known as contracting. During the meeting, Jack asked questions to begin identifying the root cause of the conflicted department. The three struck a collaborative agreement and worked to devise a plan for resolving the issues. The first action they took was to collect data. Jack reviewed the performance trends and customer complaints from the shipping department and interviewed the employees individually about their views on the problems. The planning also involved analyzing the data Jack collected to arrive at a diagnosis. When he met with Ned and Sarah to share feedback from the data collection, Jack presented his analysis, noting, "Ned and Sarah, you have a dysfunctional team on your hands. They have no ground rules, collaboration, or means of handling conflict. Everyone needs to be more understanding and respectful toward each other. It would also be helpful to create some guidelines for how the team wants to operate and manage conflict. Ned, you also need to take a more active role in resolving issues." Jack laid the problems out in a matter-of-fact, non-judgmental way. Once all the analyzed data was presented, the three worked jointly to plan an intervention to address the problems. They agreed to take the group through a facilitated process to address communication and team effectiveness. They also agreed that Ned would benefit from individualized executive coaching to help him learn behaviors that would be more productive for dealing with conflict. The second phase of action research, doing, occurred when Jack, Ned, and Sarah scheduled the intervention with the shipping department and implemented it. The outcome of the intervention was a tangible plan for the department for how to be more effective, including specific actions they would take to address conflict. The final phase, checking, involved Ned, Sarah, and Jack continuing to monitor the shipping department after the intervention. Ned helped the department uphold its new ground rules on a daily basis and coached employees to help them stick to the plan. He also asked for regular feedback on his own management skills as part of his ongoing coaching. Ned, Sarah, and Jack reviewed departmental data on productivity and customer complaints and learned that the timeliness and accuracy of shipped orders had significantly improved. Jack followed up a few months later by conducting individual interviews with shipping department members. He discovered that the solutions had been maintained. If and when new conflicts arise, or new members join the team, it may be time to start the action research process over again to address new issues. The QuickCo vignette demonstrates all three phases of the action research process. This chapter focuses on the first phase, planning. Chapters 5 and 6 provide a similarly detailed look at the second and final phases, doing and checking, respectively. But before turning to the planning phase, let us review action research. Section 4.1, A Review of Action Research. Chapter 1 defined OD as a process of planned change that is grounded in a humanistic, democratic ethic. This specific process of planned change is known as action research. Defining action research. Action research is a recurring, collaborative effort between organization members and OD consultants to use data to resolve problems. As such, it involves data collection, analysis, intervention, and evaluation. Essentially, it is a repeating cycle of action and research, However, the words action research reverse the actual sequence, in that research is conducted first, and then action is taken as a direct result of what the research data are interpreted to indicate. Credit Burke, 1992, page 54. Moreover, the cycle yields new knowledge about the organization and its issues that become useful for addressing future problems. It thereby allows organizations to improve processes and practices, while simultaneously learning about those practices and processes, the organization, and the change process itself. Action research provides evidence, which enables a consultant to avoid guesswork about what the issue is and how to resolve it. According to French and Bell, action research is the process of systematically collecting research data about an ongoing system relative to some objective, goal, or need of that system, feeding these data back into the system, taking actions by altering selected variables within the system based both on the data and on hypotheses, and evaluating the results of actions by collecting more data. Credit 1999, page 130. Action research is a democratic approach to problem solving. Many theorists have characterized action research as democratic and collaborative. Action research is a participatory, democratic process concerned with developing practical knowing in the pursuit of worthwhile human purposes grounded in a participatory worldview. Credit Reason and Bradbury, 2008, page 1. Action research is the application of the scientific method of fact-finding and experimentation to practical problems requiring action solutions, and involving the collaboration and cooperation of scientists, practitioners, and laypersons. Credit French and Bell, 1999, page 131. Action research approaches are radical to the extent that they advocate replacing existing forms of social organization. Credit Coughlin and Brannick, 2010, page 6. In addition, Coughlin and Brannick identified broad characteristics of action research. Research in action rather than research about action. A collaborative, democratic partnership. Research concurrent with action. And a sequence of events and an approach to problem solving. Credit 2010, page 4. These definitions are similar in that they all characterize action research as a democratic, data-driven, problem-solving, learning-based approach to organization improvement. Some other examples of how organizations apply action research include a nonprofit organization that surveys donors or beneficiaries before engaging in strategic planning, a government department that conducts a needs analysis prior to a training program, or a corporation that conducts exit interviews before initiating recruitment for positions. Consider this. Can you recall a project in your organization that involved members in a collaborative, problem-solving mission? Chances are it was action research, even if that terminology was not used. Can you think of any other examples? Action research helps clients build capacity for future problem-solving. Although typically guided by a consultant, action research engages key stakeholders in the process. Indeed, its effectiveness depends on the active engagement and accountability of the stakeholders. As discussed in Chapter 3, OD consultants are responsible for influencing the action research process while at the same time exercising restraint to avoid solving the problem for the client. An example can illuminate how action research helps the client build problem-solving capacity. Suppose an organization introduces a process of assimilating new leaders when they join it. Action. The organization hires a consultant to survey team members about this initiative's effectiveness. Research. The client and the consultant collaborate to develop the survey and analyze the results. What is learned informs continued assimilation of new leaders and the way the process gets modified. Action. The client is initially engaged to learn the process so that it can be repeated in the future without the help of a consultant. The action research process helps the organization collect, analyze, and apply data to make informed decisions and not waste time and money on inappropriate interventions. Helping organizations become proficient at the action research process is the outcome of effective consulting, because the best consultants work themselves out of a job. Models of Action Research. Recall from Chapter 1 that action research originated with the work of Kurt Lewin, the father of OD. Lewin's model includes a pre-step, in which the context and purpose of the OD effort are identified, followed by planning, action, and fact-finding, evaluation. Several models of action research generally follow Lewin's, although the number and names of steps may vary. See Table 4.1 in your ebook for a comparison. The model of action research used in this book has three phases, illustrated in Figure 4.1 in your ebook and paralleling Lewin's model: planning, doing, and checking. Refer to the feature box called "Who Invented That? Plan, Do, Check Cycle" to read about the person who originally developed Plan, Do, Check. Each phase has substeps derived from multiple action research models. Number 1, planning, the discovery phase. A, diagnosing the issue. B, gathering data on the issue. C, analyzing the data gathered. D, sharing feedback, data analysis, with the client. E, planning of action to address the issue. 2, doing, the action phase. A, learning related to the issue. B, changing related to the issue. 3, checking, the evaluative phase. A, assessing changes. B, adjusting processes. C, ending or recycling, back to the planning stage, the action research process. The action research steps may look simple, and it may appear that planning change is a neat, orderly, and rational process. In reality, though, it can be chaotic, political, and shifting, with unexpected developments and outcomes. Nevertheless, learning the action research process equips consultants with a proven method for navigating such shifts as they work with clients on organization challenges. Who invented that? Plan, Do, Check Cycle. Although often attributed to quality guru W. Edwards Deming, the Plan, Do, Check Cycle was created by Walter A. Schuchart of Bell Labs. Schuchart was an American physicist, engineer, and statistician who was one of the originators of statistical quality control, which preceded the total quality movement. Consider this. In your life, what example do you have of action research? How have you employed Plan, Do, Check? What actions or adjustments were necessary? Section 4.2, Planning, the Discovery Phase. When beginning an OD intervention, the initial steps taken to identify the problem and gather data about it are known as planning. The planning phase is a diagnostic one. The client and consultant work with other organization stakeholders to study the problem and determine the difference between desired outcomes and actual outcomes. The discrepancy between what is and what should be is known as a performance gap. For example, if an organization aspires to be first in quality in the industry but lags behind in second or third place, that would be a performance gap. The organization would have to engage in performance improvement practices to close the gap with its competitors. Or perhaps a leader receives feedback that she is not as skilled at leadership as she had thought. The leader begins to work with a mentor or coach to identify what behaviors she needs to be more effective. By improving listening, recognition, and delegation behaviors, the leader begins to narrow the gap between her current and desired future leadership performance. Organizations perform gap analysis to assess reasons for a gap between reality and the desired outcome. The performance gap idea can also be applied to yourself. Let us say you aspire to a managerial position, but have not achieved it. Upon analyzing the gap, you realize you lack the training and experience to attain the position. If you decide to eliminate the gap, you might enroll in a graduate program, earn a leadership certificate, or find a mentor to help you attain your goal. Consider a performance gap you have experienced and complete the chart in Figure 4.2 in your ebook. Now that you have applied the gap analysis to yourself, let's think about using it in an organization setting. Identify a desired reality, perhaps being first to market with a new technology. Next, honestly note the organization's current reality. In the case of introducing the technology, does it have the right people to do the work? Is the technology ready for market? Is the marketing campaign ready to go? Once you determine the gap, fill out the middle column with specific action steps to move the organization closer to its goal. How will you close the gap? What would be the desired reality in your own organization? How equipped is it to close the gap? What other performance gaps have you experienced? Benefits of the planning phase. Planning is a critical phase of OD because poor plans will result in poor outcomes, such as fixing the wrong problem, wasting time and resources, and frustrating organization members. The benefits of good planning include setting the OD process up for success through careful analysis and diagnosis of the problem, engaging organization members from the beginning in the process of collaboration, ongoing learning and capacity building in the action research process, and prioritizing issues. Tips and wisdom. Alan Lakin. Time management guru Alan Lakin is credited with coining the phrase, "Failing to plan is planning to fail," as cited in Johnson & Lewis, 2013, paragraph 1. This advice is to be heeded in OD. Planning is key to effective interventions. How does Lakin's quotation apply to your experience? Levels of analysis. Before we delve into the steps of the planning phase, we should understand the location of the OD effort, that is, the level at which the action research might occur. This is known as the level of analysis. The OD effort might focus on the individual, group, organization, or system. Each level comes with its own issues, needs, and appropriate interventions. These levels, along with appropriate interventions, were discussed in Chapter 2. All levels of analysis, from the individual to the system, face similar issues. Cockman, Evans, and Reynolds in 1996 categorized organization issues according to purpose and task, structure, people, rewards, procedures, or technology. Purpose and task refers to identifying the reason the organization exists and how its members advance its mission. Structure pertains to reporting relationships and how formal and informal power relations affect the organization. People issues relate to relationships, leadership, training, communication, emotions, motivation and morale, and organization culture. Rewards systems include financial and non-financial incentives available for performance and perceived equity among employees. Procedures include decision-making processes, formal communication channels, and policies. These are an important category for analysis. Technology involves assessing whether the organization has the necessary equipment, machinery, technology, information, and transport to accomplish its tasks. Table 4.2 in your ebook identifies questions to ask about each area of Cockman, Evans, and Reynolds' levels of analysis. Identify a performance gap you are aware of personally or professionally, and see if you can answer Cockman, Evans, and Reynolds' questions. Steps in the planning phase. The steps in the planning phase include identifying the problem area, gathering data, analyzing the data, sharing feedback, and planning action. These steps illuminate the core problem and identify key information for making an intervention. Step 1. Preliminary diagnosis of the issue. When an OD process is initiated, it is imperative that the problem be correctly defined. Doing so involves a process of diagnosis. A consultant's job is to push the client to identify the root cause of the problem, rather than its symptoms. Considering the Quitco example, it might have been easy for Ned to decide to put the department through a customer service training based on the symptoms of late, erroneous orders. Had he done so, however, it likely would have worsened matters, because no amount of customer service training would fix the department's interpersonal conflicts, poor communication, and ineffective conflict resolution. It may take intensive study and data collection to accurately diagnose a problem, but doing so is well worth it. The action research process begins by defining a problem that warrants attention. Consultants must ask good questions to illuminate a problem source. They can then move on to the next step in the planning phase. Questions a consultant might ask a client include the following. What do you think is causing the problem? What have you tried to fix it? How has this attempt to fix the problem worked? And what has been stopping you from fully addressing this issue? In addition to asking questions to pinpoint the issue, consultants must ask questions about who else will be involved in the OD effort. Also, as Chapter 3 explored, a consultant needs to uncover the client's expectations regarding the duration of the project and make sure the client is willing to assume an equal responsibility for outcomes. Good questioning enhances one's authenticity as a consultant. How have you diagnosed problems in your organization? Have you ever misdiagnosed an issue? What were the consequences? Step 2. Gathering data on the issue. Once Quitco diagnosed the team's lack of communication and interpersonal effectiveness as the source of the problem, it was ready to collect information to inform next steps. This is known as data gathering. Data can be gathered in many ways. The most common data collection methods in action research include interviews, questionnaires, focus groups, direct observation, and document analysis. Jack, the internal Quitco consultant, took several steps to better understand the problem. He reviewed performance trends and customer complaints, interviewed department members, and relied on his own working knowledge and observations of the department to formulate a solid understanding of the issues. What types of data have you gathered to better understand organization issues? Methods of data gathering are explored in detail in the next section of this chapter. Step 3. Analyzing the data. Once data has been collected, it must be turned into something meaningful and useful for the client. Data collected to provide information about a problem is not useful until it is interpreted in ways that inform the issue and provide clues to possible interventions. For example, a survey is not helpful unless it is examined within the organization's context. Data analysis will be more fully defined in the data analysis methods section later in this chapter. Step 4. Sharing feedback with the client. Once data has been collected and analyzed, a feedback meeting is scheduled in which results are presented to the client. In the Quitco example, Jack met with Ned and Sarah to share his analysis. Feedback meetings require careful planning to keep the consultancy on track. Consultants should decide on the key purpose and desired outcomes for the meeting. For example, do they want the client to better understand the problem, agree on a course of action, confront some issues affecting the problem? Sharing feedback with the client involves determining the focus of the feedback meeting, developing the agenda for feedback, recognizing different types of feedback, presenting feedback effectively, managing the consulting presence during the meeting, addressing confidentiality concerns, and anticipating defensiveness and resistance. Step 5. Planning action to address the issue. The last step of the planning or discovery phase is to plan the action that will be taken. This planning might occur during the feedback meeting, or you might schedule a time at a later date to give the client an opportunity to digest the data analysis and feedback. The outcome of the planning is to design the activity, action, or event that will be the organization's response to the issue. This is known as an intervention. The type of intervention selected depends on the organization's readiness and capability to change, the cultural context, and the capabilities of the OD consultant and internal change agent. Credit Cummings and Worley, 2018. The intervention will also target strategy, technology and structure, and human resource or human process issues. The consultant and the client will collaboratively plan the appropriate intervention or interventions to address the issue. Chapter 5 will address interventions in detail. Section 4.3. Types of research. OD is a joint endeavor between the client and the consultant and includes data gathering and analysis. Involving clients in the data collection process reinforces their commitment to the OD process. The consultant's role in this process is to help the client focus on the root cause of the problem and to organize the data collection and interpretation. A consultant's objectivity can be very helpful to clients, enhancing their understanding of how they might be contributing to the problem or how the issue plays out within the broader organization context. Einstein is credited with saying, "If we knew what it was we were doing, it would not be called research, would it?" As cited in Albert Einstein's Cite 2012, paragraph 4, people conduct research when they have questions that do not have obvious answers. Depending on the question they wish to answer, there are differing types of research. Basic research. The word research might evoke images of people working in labs, examining petri dish cultures, and making new discoveries. This type of research is known as basic research, and it generally creates or extends the knowledge base of a discipline such as medicine, physics, or chemistry through experiments that allow researchers to test hypotheses and examine perplexing questions. Basic research results in new discoveries and theories, and includes innovations such as testing cures for cancer, establishing scientific laws such as gravity, or refuting previously held beliefs such as the world being flat. There are other types of research beyond basic, and they vary based on the type of question being asked. Applied research. When people seek to answer questions such as, "What is the best way to facilitate learning during change?" or "How do we motivate employees to embrace new technology?" they are usually seeking to improve practice within a certain field. This is known as applied research because its results are germane to problems and issues within a particular setting, such as business. This type of research is practical and helps people solve problems, but unlike basic research, it does not necessarily yield new knowledge. OD is applied research because it asks questions about challenges that are unique to the individual organizational context in which they are located, but does not necessarily expand our understanding of human behavior in organizations. Action research. Action research explores specific problems within a locality, such as an organization or community. It might ask questions such as, "How can we prevent employees from leaving Company A at a rate 3 times higher than the industry standard? How can Hospital B implement an electronic health record with minimal disruption to patient care? Or how can we lower poverty rates in Community C?" As the name implies, and we have already covered, action research involves recurring cycles of study and action regarding a problem within a specific context. Action research is participative because it usually involves members of the organization. OD generally engages in both applied research and action research because it aims to improve practice, applied, within a specific context, action. When you engage in action research, you are conducting a systematic inquiry on a particular organization problem by methodically collecting and analyzing data to provide evidence on which to base your intervention. When people do research in organizations, they are seeking not so much to generate new knowledge or cure diseases as to improve the quality of organization life. Action research is therefore a form of applied research because it seeks to directly address organization problems and respond to opportunities in ways that improve the organization for all its stakeholders. Evaluation research. People may also want to judge the quality of something like an educational program, conference, or OD intervention. Here, they might ask, "How was the learned information applied? What was the most effective mode of delivery of instruction?" Or, "What are people doing differently as a result of the intervention?" This type of research is known as evaluation research. Evaluation seeks to establish the value of programs or interventions and judge their usefulness. Evaluation can occur during the OD process, especially when the process is being evaluated before, during, or after the intervention. We will learn more about evaluation research in OD in Chapter 6. Refer to Table 4.3 in your ebook for further description of the different types of research. Section 4.4, Research Methodology. In addition to the four types of research based on the types of questions asked, research can also be classified according to the type of methodology that is used to collect data. Methodology represents the overarching philosophy and approach to collecting data. Qualitative research methodology. When seeking to understand how a phenomenon occurs or unfolds, how do leaders best develop, or inquire into the nature or meaning of something, how does participation on a high-performing team affect individual identity and performance? A qualitative methodology is appropriate. Qualitative methodology is concerned with understanding the meaning people have constructed. Credit Merriam and Tisdell, 2015, page 15. And as an umbrella term covering an array of interpretive techniques which seek to describe, decode, translate, and otherwise come to terms with the meaning, not the frequency, of certain more or less naturally occurring phenomena in the social world. Credit Van Manen, 1979, page 520. Qualitative inquiry is not generally quantifiable, but rather provides convincing evidence. Qualitative data is generated from methods such as interviews, focus groups, or observations that are commonly conducted as part of the discovery phase of action research. Qualitative methods are rooted in constructivist philosophy, the idea that people build meaning from experience and interpret their meanings in different ways. For example, two people would likely define the meaning of life differently. Qualitative research occurs within the social setting or field of practice, and data collection is often referred to as fieldwork or being in the field. Qualitative approaches can effectively address organization members' everyday concerns, help consultants understand and improve their practice, and inform decisions. Examples of qualitative questions asked in OD include, why are employees dissatisfied with organization Y? And what specific concerns do employees have about anticipated changes in the organization? Qualitative methodology uses techniques that allow deep exploration of social phenomena through interviews, observations, focus groups, or analysis of documents. Qualitative research characteristics. Qualitative research focuses on building meaning and understanding about social phenomena. The researcher, generally the consultant in OD, is the primary instrument for data collection and analysis. This means that it is the consultant who conducts interviews, focus groups, or observations, and then interprets or analyzes their meaning. Interpretation is considered an inductive process. That is, meaning is inferred from the data through a process of comparison, reflection, and theme building. Unlike quantitative methodology, where study participants are often collected at random, qualitative participants are selected purposefully and are individuals who can provide informed accounts of the topic under study. For example, if a consultant wants to know about the experiences of new employees, he or she obviously needs to ask new employees. Qualitative analysis and results. Qualitative analysis provides a detailed account of the phenomenon. Direct quotations from participants and a full depiction of the setting, issue, or individuals under study is known as rich description. The design of a qualitative study is emergent and flexible, meaning that the questions may change as new insights are gained. For example, if Sarah is conducting focus groups on issues faced by new employees, a topic may arise that she wants to query future groups about as she collects data. Quantitative research methodology. When people want to know how much or how many of something, they generally seek a quantitative methodology. For example, a researcher might ask, what are the percentage breakdowns of employee satisfaction in organization Y from very dissatisfied to very satisfied? Or, what is your organization's productivity rate compared with the industry standard? Quantitative methods assume there is one correct answer to a question. This type of research yields statistical descriptions and predictions of the topics under study. Recall from earlier coverage in this book the process of survey feedback, in which employees are given a questionnaire about the organization's management, culture, or atmosphere. Surveys are regularly used in OD to assess issues such as attitudes, individual performance, and technology needs, or to evaluate certain functions or products. Surveys provide quantifiable data, such as what percentage of employees feel management is doing a good job, or what percentage of employees plan to look for other work in the coming year. Quantitative research characteristics. Quantitative techniques include surveys, questionnaires, and experiments that may involve testing with control groups. For example, Team A might be trained on effective team dynamics and facilitation procedures. Its productivity and performance might then be measured against Team B, which received no prior training. Quantitative studies are carefully designed, and once data collection begins, they are not changed. For example, if Jonas were administering a survey to a population, he would not change the questions halfway through data collection. Samples in a quantitative study are random and large. A corporation of 40,000 employees being surveyed on their opinions about health benefits would target a smaller number of randomly selected workers to provide a representation of what the majority of workers would likely prefer. Quantitative analysis and results. Quantitative data is analyzed using a deductive process, in which the numbers or statistics will be used to determine an understanding of what is being studied. Assuming a benefit survey was conducted in the previous example, the organization might learn that 60% of employees prefer managed care, 40% want vision, and only 30% want dental insurance. The company would use this information to modify its benefits packages. Table 4.4 in your ebook compares and contrasts qualitative and quantitative methods. Section 4.5, Research Methods. Research methods are procedures used to collect data. They are based on the type of research methodology used. Methods typically used in OD are profiled in this section. Interviews. A conversation facilitated by the consultant for the purpose of soliciting a participant's opinions, observations, and beliefs is an interview. Interviews give participants the opportunity to explain their experience, record their views and perspectives, and legitimize their understandings of the phenomenon under study. Credit Stringer, 2013. The interviews at Quick Co. likely asked employees about departmental problems, communication, leadership, and so forth. Conducting interviews requires constructing questions that best address the issues under investigation. For example, Jack might ask the Quick Co. shipping employees these questions. What do you see as the top three challenges in the shipping department? Can you tell me about a specific event that contributed to the problems you face today? What has to change for you to be happy here? What have you tried to resolve the problem? What role have you played in the shipping department? And how likely are you to leave your position in the next year? Recording interviews can be useful, but make sure you have permission from the participant, interviewee, and prepare and test the recording equipment in advance. If you are not able to record, you will want to take notes. But this is not ideal because it distracts you from what the interviewee is sharing. Interviews have several strengths. They provide in-depth insight into an interviewee's opinions, attitudes, thoughts, preferences, and experiences. Interviews allow the interviewer to probe and pose follow-up questions. Interviews can be done rapidly, particularly by telephone and email, and they tend to elicit high response rates. Interviews also have several weaknesses, including that they can be costly and time-consuming, especially when done in person. Interviewees may answer in ways they think will please the interviewer rather than tell the truth. The quality of the interview is dependent on an interviewer's skill and ability to avoid bias and ask good questions. To avoid bias, an interviewer should set aside expectations about the problem and solutions and truly listen to what the participants say during data collection. Interviewees may lack self-awareness or forget important information and thus fail to provide good data. They may also have confidentiality and trust concerns. Data analysis can also be time-consuming. Questionnaires. A questionnaire is an electronic or paper form that has a standardized set of questions intended to assess opinions, observations, and beliefs about a specific topic, such as employee satisfaction. It is a quantitative method. Questionnaires are also known as surveys, and one of OD's first interventions was survey research, as was discussed in Chapter 1. Questionnaires measure attitudes and other content from research participants. The results can be quantified, often to show statistical significance of the responses. Questionnaires are commonly administered to employees to inquire about the organization's culture and climate and their satisfaction levels with their work, management, and relationships. Participants are usually asked to rate the questionnaire items using a Likert scale, described in Chapter 1. For example, they might rate an item such as management is concerned with my welfare on a 5-point scale from strongly disagree to strongly agree. Questionnaires should feature clearly written questions that will yield actionable information. Questionnaires and surveys have several benefits. They are inexpensive to administer, especially if done electronically or in groups. Software programs make surveys relatively easy to develop and distribute. Questionnaires provide insights into participants' opinions, thoughts, and preferences. They allow rapid data collection and are generally trusted for confidentiality and anonymity. Questionnaires are reliable and valid when well constructed and permit open-ended data to be collected, as well as exact responses to direct questions. Questionnaires and surveys also pose some challenges. They should be kept short or participants may not complete them. Participants may answer in ways they think please you instead of telling the truth. They may not respond to certain items at all, especially if the wording is unclear. Participants may not trust confidentiality or may feel that the survey is tedious. Thus, the response rate may be low. Finally, data analysis can be time-consuming for open-ended items. End of Chapter 4, Part A.